Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
I asked a couple people to come up and share some testimonies today. So we just had a bunch of good stuff, good God stuff happen in here recently, and it's just important to kind of share what God is doing in people's lives. And so tell everybody your name.
Kelly.
Did you just woo your own name?
Yeah.
That's awesome. You got to love yourself before anybody will love you, right?
Correct.
That's good. That's good. So you have a testimony about what's been happening on our Wednesday night Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind series, yeah?
Yes.
Tell the people just a little bit about what's happened or what has happened or what did happen or whatever you want to tell them.
I've been learning a lot. And in our circle, we watched this video and then we talk about it in our group. And then we started praying. And then Pastor joined us. Woo. And then Holy Ghost just came. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It was just like a wave of electricity. And it was
on your body,
on my body, like from like my feet to my hands. And it was amazing. And it's just great to see God working in all our lives.
Yeah. So what did that mean to you when you felt that electricity? What was that like for you? What did that mean anything? Did it have any deeper meaning? Because I like feeling stuff. I like if that's all God wants to do, I'm down, you know, but I'm praying for more than feelings.
It felt like,
you know what I mean? I'm okay with that. Like if he just wants to love on me, that's good. I'm good.
It just felt like he was filling me up and just like renewal, just with identity.
That's good.
Yeah.
So your identity is power.
Yes. So I've been learning a lot about that. And then I was really excited about being baptized ever since I joined church.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
How was that for you?
That was incredible as well.
What happened in that?
I couldn't even like stand in the water. I remember you asked me why I wanted to get baptized and like I started the sentence and then after that it was just...
Lights out, huh?
Yeah. And then, yeah. It was incredible.
Did you experience anything, see anything, feel anything? What might have happened?
I felt Holy Ghost again. I didn't see anything, but I felt Holy Ghost.
And what did it feel like?
I just felt really light. I felt I couldn't, like
sweet
my legs, I couldn't stand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah? Wait, so afterwards, how did you feel after that Wednesday and that Sunday?
I felt like I was in the next level.
Amen.
Yeah, so a new chapter.
A new chapter.
Yeah.
A good chapter.
Yes.
Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. Corey, you want to come on up here and help me with the microphone? Just kind of regulate the microphone for me. Well, you don't have to hold it on. You ever been to a church? I've talked about this before. I'll say it again. You ever been like they're like this here? I was at a conference once. They did that. I'm like, dude, I preach for a living. I swear I'm not going to take over your service. Just get off me, please. Just. Lillian Davis, everybody.
Hello.
Baby D.
So my testimony is from the baptism. So as soon as Pastor announced, or whoever does announcements, announced that we were getting baptized, I knew God wanted me to get baptized again. And
people
I always,
are saying again.
Yeah.
Didn't it work when you were 7?
Yeah, no. I was a baby.
Were you a baby?
Yeah.
Catholic?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a real baptism.
Well,
I don't mean to offend anybody. It's real hard to repent at 10 days old.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult to repent when you have nothing to repent for.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
So I was kind of struggling with that, and I was like, again, you know, like, God.
It's been a couple times, right?
Yeah. And then I remembered the verse that says, you know, be baptized for repentance, and, you know, we all walk things out. And I just have a feeling in the spirit that I'm coming into a season where I need more of God and less of me. Just a feeling. And so when I heard him say get baptized again, I was like, okay. And the past few months, I've just been issues that I thought were taken care of just kept coming up. And I was kind of like upset at myself that these things were coming up again. And just struggles in my mind. And I was like, well, praise God that he's bringing it up now.
Yeah.
So that I can deal with it, so that my daughter doesn't have to deal with it. Yeah. You know, like, I can stop this in my life now before she even has to come into anything. And so so I listened, and I obeyed, and I went in the water. And I just felt so much freedom. Like, when I first got saved, you prayed for me, and I just felt like 80 pounds come off of me physically, just deliverance and just freedom. And I felt the same thing in the baptism.
Hallelujah.
And it was just amazing, and I just thank God for that. And this whole week, like, my mind has been so clear.
Glory to Jesus.
And things that I was struggling with the past few months, like, it's just not even an issue.
Hallelujah.
Like, thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Yeah. Stretch your hand. Father, we thank you.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for what you're doing in Lillian's life. And we just declare blessings. Woo, blessings. Take care of the pregnant lady, Lord. Jesus. Wow. And more of your peace. How many of you know in your third trimester you need joy? There we go. Hallelujah. Why don't you just sit here for a second? There we go. There we go. Holly, Swana, can you have Swana come on up next? Hello. You grab the microphone there. Don't sit in her lap. That's all right. You're all right. She said, I'm light. Yeah. Like, that'd be, make it okay. I don't even know what that means.
I meant, like,
light. Oh, the presence. She's in the spirit. She might fly anytime now. Watch out. Tell everybody your name.
Soanna.
And so I heard you share a testimony about last Sunday's service.
Yeah.
And I just want to just talk a little bit about that. Make sure you keep the microphone near you. Nobody
okay,
hear
towards
you.
The end of service, Pastor spoke about.
There you go.
Well, you know, I totally enjoyed worship last week. I was really into it. You know, Mikey did that Dance Forever remix. Like, I was really in it and feeling it. And I was just feeling so good. And his presence was just so strong on me. I was just happy and just refreshed and replenished, you know, got rid of all my funk from the week. And
yes.
Towards the end, it's like, okay, I'm good. I'm ready to go conquer the world. And
yes.
Pastor's like, oh, I got something. I hope you're ready. And I'm like, okay, let's see what everybody else is going to get. And, you know, he's like, all right, you ready? Here it comes. And it was like, boom, all on me. And I'm like, oh, it's coming for me. Like, God wasn't even done with me yet. And I was just.
What did it feel like? What happened?
Oh, my God.
Because I didn't touch you, right? You were like over there.
I didn't even come up front. Like, I was just, I'm like, save my seat. You know, I had enough, or I got enough. I was happy with what I got. And, he wasn't done with me yet.
Amen.
And he,
how many of you glad he's not done with you? He's still working on me. Amen.
It was just amazing because, you know, he was, I just felt like he was telling me, like, no, I have plenty more for you. And his presence just came down so strong. I left here, like, just in awe and just amazement that, wow, God, you wanted to spend more time with me and just give me so much more. And I left
Hallelujah.
Here and just, again, awe.
Amen.
I came home and I sat on the couch and I was just like, oh, Lord, thank you. And all week, just peace and joy and happiness. And
amen.
It was
amen.
Just great
amen.
Freedom. I got a lot of freedom.
Stretch your hands to Swana. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that you're not done working on her. Right now. Ooh. Ooh, this will change the world. In Jesus' name, everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on down right here. Woo, amen. You can clap for it. That's good.
Woo!
Come on, Kelly. Kelly and Travis, come on up. First, we'll do Kellyanne. Kellyanne, you ready? What you got for us here? You have a lot to say. Okay, we have to condense it because I have a lot to say, too. I got all kinds of notes here. I got so many scriptures. Close your eyes.
Yeah.
Turn that one.
Okay.
She did the arm off the shoulder thing. I like that. I wanted to do that too. I wasn't bold enough. It was very distracting, right?
Okay.
I almost did a courtesy fall for the guy just so he'd stop touching me.
That's real. Yeah.
And those flying
just,
kick ones. Didn't you fly? Oh, that was you who flew in the pool. It was Patricia who flew in the pool. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, she was
Delta
Airlines.
She has the microphone. Go ahead.
Okay. I went into the baptism really wanting God to, like, to meet me. Like, I just had a lot of expectation. In the first, like, couple minutes, I was just like, don't forget about me, you know? I'm, like, waiting and wait. And, like, that was one of the most like powerful touches of God like I've ever had. I don't know how to explain it. It's like I was really ready for like kind of like just an overhaul of my heart. And as soon as he was getting ready to baptize me, he just said new identity. Mm. And like I just felt the grief of like just the ungodly beliefs that I believe like coming off, like because God's been healing me for years of the ungodly belief that I'm toxic. And I felt like the residue of that belief came off in the water. Like it, like it's been leaving, but then it was like I went under and it was just like I came up and all the grief of that lie was gone. And I just was like, I was like, I am a woman of faith. Like I am not toxic. Like I just, it was like, I could not be lied to anymore. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like I just got, like an overhaul. Yeah, and it was crazy. Yeah. Look at the connection. Yeah, and that's what's the crazy thing is.
She's asking, can I share this testimony? I was like, nah, you'll uncover someone else's testimony. That's really their testimony. But it's a really good one. But you, look at them. You felt like you had this lie about being toxic. She's ministering now, bro. She's in the spirit. She had this lie about being toxic, and then the Lord had a divine appointment with her in the pool with someone who had a toxic blood issue. And she prayed that they would be healed, and they were completely healed of their toxic blood issue. That, as proof that not only do you have power over it for you. That's good right there. Stretch your hands for Kelly. Father, not only is she not toxic, she's pure. And her purity, oh, that's really good. Yeah. See, you understood that you're contagious. But the enemy lied to you about what you're contagious with. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that it is fully, fully contagious on you. The purity of God. Ooh, in the name of Jesus. That's a good word. I'll take that for me. Amen. Give it for Kellyanne, everybody. Travo. He's no longer Dr. Travis.
It's true.
He was Dr. Trav there for a while.
I'll explain that in a moment.
Yeah. Not too many moments.
Yeah. A moment. One. You're joking on me right now.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. In
no. Go ahead.
In the baptism waters, Sunday night, I just felt a lot of anxiety in my life, which is pretty rare for me. I'm usually pretty laid back about stuff. It was just really, really coming up. I feel like God kind of wanted to deal with anxiety at a definitive level. Like I want to end this streak in your life. And I knew that because it continued to get worse. And the week before, yeah,
I really hate it.
The week before baptism, it was like, it was hard to think. It was hard to put simple thoughts together. It was hard to hear God. It was hard to do almost anything. And I just really was hoping to see God do something miraculous. And when I got baptized, it's hard to describe it, honestly. I feel like there was like angels surrounding me.
Yeah.
And they were like moving, and as that was happening, there was there was things just coming off of me, and anxiety just lifted off like immediately. And I feel like he started filling me with peace, and I feel like he started filling me with faith that if my thinking is sound, then his provision and ability for my life is unlimited.
Yes.
So literally the next day, I quit the job that I have I don't like because I'm just like, God, they're going to do
it. Don't like is a bit of an understatement.
It's a bit of an understatement.
Go ahead.
The service is live, so.
Yeah.
yeah, it's a bit of an understatement. But anyways, I quit a job that I don't like, and we're just trusting God for do something amazing, and already the miracles he's doing in our family are just
hallelujah. Awesome. That's good, right? Yeah. You stand right there, and you stand right there. Actually, let's do this real quick. I want you to pray for everybody who, here's what I want you to do. If you deal with anxiety or you feel toxic, like the mess on your life is going to get on other people's lives, or, actually, I don't want to do that. I don't want people to have to stand up for something that negative. All right, hold on to that. We'll pray for that in a second. Come on up. I have a better way. I don't want to uncover people. You shouldn't have to, you know. There should be some level of anonymity. You know what I mean? So we'll share in a second. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good.
You good?
Yeah.
This is Emmanuel, everybody. He leads our dynamic youth ministry.
Yeah.
He and his wife.
A lot of shaving cream.
And he's in charge of our signs and wonders ministry. Did you follow his signs to church? That's what they're for, right?
That's what they're for. That's right.
To lead you to the presence. Go ahead. Yeah. Tell everybody your testimony.
So on. So pretty much it started from Sunday morning. My wife kind of told me, like, hey, why don't you get baptized? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I should do that. It's kind of like, maybe that's God. I don't know. But as we were
men of God have said, I heard the voice of God, and it sounded like my wife.
That makes sense now.
And then you find out it's your wife actually talking, and it's God.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. But I came to church, and as pastor was... As pastor was, he was telling people, you know, who's going to get baptized. And I just felt the tug, like, God, like, that, hey, that's you. And I was like, all right, cool. So I came up and God was like, yeah, you're going to get baptized today. And I was like, all right, great. So during the service at night, Encounter God service, as I was there, I was in the back. And, I was in the back. And pastor's like, hey, Emmanuel, why don't you come over here? I'm like, all right. So I just stand there, you know, I'm just encountering God, just focusing on God. And then pastor gives me a word, was like, I think it was like you've like it's time to be free or something like that. Or yeah, so it was like something from the past. God doesn't see that, or he's not holding that against you. Like words like that. And then like as he says that, I go to, you know, I wasn't, you know, I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. We all have stuff that we might have done that wasn't okay, but things that were done to us that we carry around, like, man, I might have caused that, or...
People sin against us, and sometimes we take responsibility for the sin that was committed against us.
Yeah.
As if we carry a shame from it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay. So I was carrying, like, a shame from, you know, something that was done to me, and in that moment, I closed my eyes, and... you know, the message series or what had been being preached was about grace. Like, you know, we receive God's grace. And funny enough, I close my eyes and, like, Jesus is, like, telling me, like, you don't have to carry that anymore. Like, I'm not worried about that. And like, I see, like, a hand, like, stretched out. And I'm like, no, I don't want to stretch it out. Like, I don't want to grab your hand, Jesus, because... know, I have to carry this. Like, I don't know how to accept your grace. And I'm just, like, kind of battling with this. Like, it's 2 seconds. And I grab his hand, and then he seats me on his lap. And as he seats me on his lap, it's like the shame just went away. And, like, years of, like, carrying shame and just, like, in an instant left. It felt really good to, like, be seated at in Jesus' lap. Yeah. And then just his love, just, like, his love just surrounds you, and it's just really good. It was really, really,
yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, that was good, right?
Yeah.
How are you feeling now?
Feel great.
So great?
Feels good. Yeah.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. Why don't you stand right here? Corey, you're good. Thank you very much, fine sir. And we're going to use the microphone, but they're going to pray. Give it up for Corey, everybody. Don't trip on that cord right there. Stand right here. And you stand next to him. And you stand next to her. And here's what we're going to do. If you deal with, and you know Holy Spirit's talking to you, if you deal with, you're carrying around some stuff that's under the blood that needs to just for once and for all, you keep pulling it up out of the blood. Yeah. Some in the past, shame, that has happened, just shame. I'm just going to put it at that. He washes away the shame. If you're dealing with shame from things in the past, if you're dealing with whatever it was she talked about, that you're toxic and that your stuff is going to get on people around you, or what was your thing here? Anxiety. Any anxiety. If you deal with any one of those three things, I'm going to go ahead and invite you to stand up, and they're going to pray. And we're going to believe in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It's going to be broken off right now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So anxiety, you're toxic, or shame. We're going to pray for this right now in the name of Jesus. Okay. And it's going to be, listen, and it's going to be broken.
Yeah.
Testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy. If he did it for them, that means he does it. And there's no reason that you can't have it.
Amen. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
If I see Corey get a Slurpee, that means I get to have a Slurpee too. The Slurpee machine is serving Slurpees.
Yeah.
Jesus is serving up cleansing from shame, the healing of anxiety, and a wrong belief about what you can impart to people. And especially moms, if you, I just feel like there's some moms who are terrified that the kids, your kids are going to walk in your issues. And I feel like the Lord wants to lift that off of you.
Wow.
That's a good word right there. Wow. Go ahead. You pray. Oh. Just receive Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Ha.
I just invite your angels right now, God, to begin to surround those who struggle with anxiety, God.
Ooh.
Begin to surround those, God, and violently come against anxiety, God, to accomplish peace. To accomplish peace right now in the name of Jesus. I just invite your angels, Lord. I just ask that anyone who feels like they are not in control of their life, Lord, that you would come as a father, Lord, and put the pieces of their life back together while they rest in your goodness, God. While their mind is at peace, God. While their heart is at peace, God. While their emotions are at peace, God. I say to every anxious mind, heart, and emotion in this room right now, peace, be still. In the name of Jesus, and anxiety be lifted off.
Yeah, Jesus, come and touch him
in
from heaven.
Jesus' name, touch him from heaven at this moment.
Healing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Keep praying. And if you're not receiving prayer, you should be praying for everybody around you.
Yeah, I just break off any ungodly beliefs off of anybody who believes that they are toxic, that they bring more harm than good to people, or that, just that you're not a blessing. And I just declare that they're cursed. And anyone that believes that you are cursed and that you are unwanted. And we just break that off of you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We just say that you are chosen and planned by God. That you are a blessing.
Comes off your life today.
You are a blessing.
Lean into that for another minute.
Yeah, Jesus, just I just pray that you would just show these people the way that you see them. That you had good plans for them, that you picked the family and the time that they were going to be born, that every person that they speak to is edified because they know them, and that they are a divine appointment waiting to happen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So God, I pray for anybody that's carrying shame, Jesus, from anything that has happened years ago, Father. I pray that in the name of Jesus, the shame would be uncovered, Father God, would be taken away from them, Father, that the weight of the shame, Father God, of anything they've encountered in their life, Jesus, I just declare right now that it would be broken. I just declare that that shame that keeps surfacing over the water of their lives like a iceberg that seems bigger than it is, that it would be broken right now in Jesus' name. I pray that that forgiveness would be released right now, that they would be able to receive the grace that you're handing out to them, Jesus, right now in Jesus' name. I just pray that that they would see themselves seated in your lap, Father God, just as you did to me on Sunday night, Jesus, right now, Father, that their identity, Father God, wouldn't be in the shame, Father, but would be in your blood, Jesus, and what you call them, Jesus. Right now, God, I just declare your love over them, Jesus. Right now, Father, that shame that keeps trying to harass them, keeps telling them that they're not worthy, that they're not good enough, that they have to carry this for the rest of their lives. I just declare right now that it would be broken off in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give a shout to God if you believe something happened just now. Give a shout to God if you believe something happened just now. Come on, lift up your praise. Come on, give me one more shout before you sit down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Thomases. Thank you, Davises. Thank you, Emmanuel. You can be seated. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to stay in the scripture for a little bit. And I've gone long already. Unfortunately, the people of this church contend for the anointing. And then they get anointed. And then the Holy Ghost gives them something to minister, and then it just takes longer. It is what it is. Are you guys okay? I like hearing that God is doing something. I like hearing about God. I just like God. I like everything about him. I like the accessories. I like everything, you know? Like, I'm biking now. I like all the accessories. I look at the websites. I wear the clothes, you know? I just like God. I like the accessories. I like everything about him. I like the websites, you know? I like the movies. I like it all. I just like it all. I just like God. I like everything that he's on. I went and saw a Christian movie this week. I don't do that too often. I was telling the pre-service meeting. I don't mind Christian movies. Some people say there's no such thing. There shouldn't be Christian movies. We should just have movies that are made by Christians. I can understand what they're saying, but you know, the average Christian movie is a fantasy film, and I fantasize about Jesus, and I like seeing other people fantasize about what God does and making a movie out of it. I'm okay with that. Are you? Now, I don't like horror flicks that are fantasies about Jesus. I don't like that so much, but you know, he's got good things, and so I'm watching this movie, and people are getting saved in the movie. And I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Do it in me, Lord. I'm ready to answer the altar call. I'm ready to get touched by the Holy Ghost at the movie theater. And I'm there with my son crying. I'm hoping he's not seeing me cry too much. And I always make fun of my wife for crying in movies. But she's crying in, like, Hallmark commercials. You know what I mean? I'm like, come on, you're not crying about the dog. Come on, come on. Dog's happy about a new dog food. She's crying. I'm like, come on. Come on. Come on. But it was Woodlawn. I thought it was a good movie. I liked it. It was, you know, wasn't awesome. It wasn't, you know, wasn't Star Wars, you know, but it was pretty good. You know? It was better than some, not as good as others. Praise God. Okay, Romans 12:2. Let's get in the Word of God. Oh, I want to announce that we successfully married Richard and Anna Senna. Right? My wife's impressed for some reason. We married them off, and that went out well. And they're on a honeymoon on an island somewhere, Marco Island. And we'll see them hopefully next week. It was a good time, though. Nobody got drunk and stupid. Well, nobody got stupid, so that was good. All right, Romans 12:2. You there? Do not be, you should have this memorized by now. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may, what's that word? Prove. We talked about that last week. That you may prove what is the will of God, what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Now, we're really being challenged on Wednesday nights, being challenged Sunday morning, being challenged in the water baptism. We had just a really good water baptism. Here's what I really like. I like, you know, I stood here last week about an hour later than this time, and I said, I'm going to prove the will of God. People are going to go in the water and come out baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we had several people come up out of the water praying in new tongues, which is good. It's a big deal, and you should be excited about that, and I'm going to kind of explain why in this message. Now, we all agree and believe that this scripture challenges us to prove God's will. Prove God's will. I spent too much time in Christianity with people who wait for God to prove his will, but he proved his will on the cross. That's what the Bible says. You want a sign? Here's your sign. Boom. Jesus on the cross. Died, rose from the dead. He said, the only sign that will be given is a sign of Jonah. 3 days in the belly of the beast. Then he comes up, bam, alive. There's your sign, right? So that's the sign that he gave. Now we are to prove God's will. We're in our new message series, Prove It, which is telling us we have a role to play in this. It's our job to prove God's will. Don't tell people you're going to, you know, lead thousands to Jesus. Start leading ones. And once you start leading ones, I'll believe that the thousands is in the ones. It's in there. It's the same gift that leads one to cross that will lead a stadium to the cross. But we got to see you prove that God has deposited that on the inside of you. Amen? We're to prove his will. Too much of the world is yelling at people about what God thinks. Not enough are demonstrating what God thinks and proving what he thinks. Are you with me? Here's the challenge that I think a lot of believers have. I believe I believe the majority of people who've met Jesus actually want to do his will. Would you agree? I want to do his will. I want to, not as many are as excited about proving it, because here's the problem. They don't necessarily know what his will is. They don't necessarily know what exactly it is they're supposed to prove. Does that make sense? People say, you know, I want to follow God. I just don't know what he wants me to do. I don't know what his will is exactly. I know, you know, I'm going to go to heaven. But that's not you proving anything. That's his promise to you. The only thing you have to do with going to heaven is believe. And then he takes over from there. Right? Like when I, like if when I go to the airport and I buy a ticket to go to California and I check my luggage, the luggage now is out of my hands. I don't have to do anything to make that luggage show up in California. But how do you know I got to get on the plane to get to California? So the luggage will get there without me if I don't do something that corresponds to what my ticket says I can do. Right? So you get saved, and okay, eventually your soul will make it to heaven. But that does not say what you're supposed to be doing right now to deliver you into the promised land per se in this life. And so people are like, okay, I understand the final destination, heaven. Some people look at it that way. God takes care of that. But I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Do I do real estate? Do I run cross country? Do I, you know, wander the earth carrying a cross? What exactly am I supposed to do? I want to talk about that for a little bit, if that's all right with you. Part of the problem that we don't know exactly what God's will is, and I hope you got a sharp pencil today because I got a lot of scripture for you. Part of the problem that we don't know what God's will is because, don't take this offensively because I don't mean it as such, we don't know God. We don't really know God the way he wants us to know him. Now, we may have met him, but it doesn't mean we understand him and his heart toward us. 1 Corinthians 2:11, if you got a Bible, you can look at it, or we'll put it on the screen right here. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except what? The Spirit of God. Okay, let's read this one more time. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Two things I want you to get out of this. The first one is a freebie. You can look at what somebody's doing and you can make a rightful judgment on what they're doing. You do not know why people did it. You cannot judge people's hearts. Someone may have made a mistake and you can say, oh, that's just because they wanted to make money or they wanted to get over it. I mean, you don't know that. You don't know what's going on in anybody else's heart. You hardly know what's going on in your heart. If you want to stay out of trouble spiritually, stop judging people's hearts and motives and intentions. Just stop it. You got to have an internal regulator that when you hear yourself saying these things, a red flag needs to go up and you need to repent. Because that binds you. That judgment binds you to the sin. You don't want that. That's not helpful. That's not going to get you where you want to go. Stop judging people's hearts and motives. Now, if someone runs a red light and runs into your car, it's very easy to be angry with them, right? And you can rightfully be angry that they ran a red light, broke the law, and sinned against you. But if you judge them, oh, he did it because you don't know why he did it. That's where you get locked into something that you can't unlock from. Because you can forgive him for hitting your car. It's hard for you to forgive him of the heart condition that you judged him for. All right, I don't have time to get into that. But you don't know what's going on in anybody else's heart. Only their spirit knows what's going on in their heart. And the only way you find out is by asking them. Okay, I don't have time for that right now. The same with God. The only way to know God is by his spirit. You have to know God by his spirit. You can't just, don't throw anything at me yet or call me a heresy. You cannot know God just by reading the book. This is stuff written about him. Without his spirit, it's just a book. I have had little debates with lots of atheists who have a lot more of this book memorized than me. And they don't know him. How many know demons know this book? They don't know him. They don't know him. You can only know him by his spirit. At no point did Jesus say, you know, go and wait in an upper room, and I'll send you a book. I'll put you on the Book of the Month Club, and I'll send you John, and then I'll send you Mark, and then I'll send you... He didn't say that. He said he's going to send you his Spirit. The only way to know God is by his Spirit. Are you with me? You have to know him by his Spirit. You want to know God's will? Get in touch with his Spirit. Because it is in his Spirit. We're going to go through that pretty much for the rest of the day, okay? It says, so many people, they think, you know, you hear this over here and you hear that over there. And you see, you know, Mikey's doing music and man, maybe I'll do music. And, you know, maybe he had a word for me about music and wow, maybe I'm called to music. And then you meet Pastor Tracy and she's counseling people. And you're like, well, I like to counsel people. And she thinks that maybe I could counsel people. Now maybe, I don't know if I'm going to do music or if I'm going to do counseling. Maybe I'll be a musical counselor. You know, maybe I'll sing the counsel of God. Then you meet Diane and Diane's on fire for evangelism. And you're like, well, I if I counsel lost people, that's like evangelism. So I'll musically counsel lost people. And then you get this confusion in your head because every month you got a new call, right? You're like, what? No, this is all confusion. See, and the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that God is not the author of confusion. When there is confusion in your mind, that lets you know, it's like a warning light. Hey, there's more going on here than the Spirit of God. Anytime there's confusion in your mind, it's got to tell you, oh, wait a minute, part of what's going through my head is not God. Part of this is not God. You get a word and it causes confusion, guess what? Either what the word was or how you interpreted it was not God. It's probably somewhere in the middle, though. Right? Part of it's not God. That doesn't mean you throw away the word. When you try to maybe figure out what it means for you, or maybe what you heard originally was not God, and now you get the true word of God, that's challenging the false word, and it's bringing confusion because you don't know which is which. God is not causing the confusion. God is not causing your angst. What often happens is you've built your foundation on something other than the truth. Now, I'll get to that in a second. I'm going through this quickly because we're getting late already. See, God is not a God of confusion, and so he tells us how we come into this call, how we come into this wisdom. It's not be conformed to the world, but what? Transformed, how? By renewing of our mind. It's the renewal of your mind in what he's going for. Now, many of us have come to the understanding that we live this life without Jesus, and we need a fresh start at some point. And that fresh start is when we recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's God, and we're not. That's like a major revelation to some people. Wow, I'm actually not God. What do you know? I was the master of my domain, and then I met him. And it's really neat when you meet him, it's very easy to see that you're not God. It's kind of like when you're the best at something of anybody you know, and then you meet somebody who does it professionally. And you don't even tell them that you do it. You're like, yeah, my ego can't take that. I'll just let him do it. I'll be awesome over here. Right, you meet God, and all of a sudden, every concept you had about your greatness just goes out the window. That's why humility is a mark of people who've met him. If you're still convinced of your greatness, you probably haven't really met him yet. Does this make sense? Just got to get around him a little bit more. And so, when we meet him in this life that we have built for ourselves, we meet him, and we say, well, he's doing it professionally. I need a fresh start. I was building a house, and now I see I was doing it without plans. The potter did not help build this pottery. I need a fresh start. Jesus Christ, come on and take over. We call that salvation. That fresh start is salvation. Amen? And so many of us give our spirit to God and say, hey, fresh start, here you go. And many even give their body to God and say, I'm going to stop sinning with my body. Not as many people understand you also need to give your mind to God. And you need this renewal of your mind. You need revival in your mind. You need a fresh start in your mind. And that starts with understanding that you've built a whole mind frame your entire life based on thoughts that you came up with. On truths that you have established on your own. You know, at one point, everybody on the planet decided that the earth was flat. I mean, the Bible didn't say that. The Bible clearly stated that the earth goes around the sun, right? But all the scientists of the day had decided that the earth is flat. And how many know that didn't change the shape of the earth at all? But they needed their understanding of science to be renewed, to be conformed to the truth. Because it's very difficult when you got the wrong truths established in your heart. This is why when you come to meet Jesus, you got to get some discipleship. Not in the heavy-handed sense so you learn how to follow somebody. Though for many people that's pretty important. But from the sense that you have to recognize what God's thoughts are towards you. You have to recognize that, as you have just been dealing with life's hurts on your own, you've accepted many of them to be truths that were lies. Right? God did not put, Kelly gave this testimony about toxicity. God didn't put that in her mind. But here's the ongoing renewing of her mind that showed her, wow, I didn't even realize that was still in my belief system. So we need to constantly have the renewing of the mind happening. We don't even know what we're limiting ourselves from. We don't know how many areas of our lives are open doors, but the enemy's standing in front of us telling us a lie that is closed. We have to recognize in our heart, without God's Spirit, I'm never going to see that that door is open. I have come up with these open doors on my own, and I didn't ask the Spirit of God, what is your heart toward me? What open door is there? Are you with me? Here's how we do this. The Bible talks about, you can clean the whole house, but you got to fill it with good stuff. Otherwise, the enemy just found a warm place to live, right? A lot of people, when they deal with anxiety or they deal with negative thoughts or harmful thoughts, all they do is they fight the bad thoughts all day. And how many of you know that's not as successful a strategy? Because that's law. And the law doesn't work. The law is punish the negative. The law is try real hard and punish the negative. And all you're doing is setting an exclamation point at the end of the negative. It doesn't work. Now, if you can set up some level of legalism, then that will keep you somewhat at bay, but it doesn't transform the heart. How do you do that? Well, you need to fill your mind with the will of God. You say, well, Pastor, now we're full circle. I already told you I don't know what God's will is, and now you're telling me I have to fill my mind with God's will in order to come into it. Well, let me help you out here. See, when you focus on God's will, right? When you focus on his will becomes your provision. When you focus on what God has told you is his desire, then that carries the anointing to be the provision to come into that. All right, I don't want that to sound confusing, but as we say, Lord, it is your desire for my mind to be renewed. And as you're focusing on the renewal of your mind, his Spirit will come and minister to your mind on the renewal because you're focused on that. But let me help you out with this. I say the easiest way, one of the most important ways to have your mind renewed is to read God's Word. Now you say, Pastor, you just told me a minute ago this doesn't help you know God. Well, I didn't say it doesn't help you know God. What I said is you can't do it without his Spirit. Now watch this. Hebrews 4:12, if you might want to write these scriptures down because it's a good one. Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is what? Living and active. Let's see it again. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of what? The heart, of the heart. And no one knows what's going on in your heart but you. But the Word of God comes in and separates the soul and the spirit, you and your heart. You see, when you're saved, your spirit man comes to life, right? And your spirit man needs to bleed into your soul. So you've been led by your soul your whole life. Whatever your soul enjoys, that's just be happy is what the world does. Just be happy. How many know that could be a road to hell, right? Just be happy. I just want to be happy. Well, if smoking crack and cheating on your wife makes you happy, stop it. That's a problem. If robbing stores makes you happy, stop it because you're going to jail. There is a truth. And what happens is the Word of God comes, and if we say to ourselves, the Word of God is unchanging, The Word of God does not change. Truth stays the same forever. Truth does not change. And as we read it, we allow it to come and search our heart. And see, when we get saved, our spirit man is renewed, but sometimes we don't see the difference between our heart and our spirit. And so all these thoughts that we have become, we think, God thoughts, but they're not. We're just hearing what we want to hear. That's sometimes you go to meetings and you're just like, I just want to hear a word that I want to hear. It's my hope today that you hear a scripture that jumps out at you that can become life for you. Right? So here's how you do this. We want to read the Bible, but watch this. You want to read the Bible in the presence of God's Spirit. If you're like, I read the Bible, I don't understand anything. Here's what you need to do. Get your favorite worship song. And just listen and worship till the Spirit of God comes into the room. Now, why would we want to do that? Watch this. 2 Timothy 3:15 says that the scriptures are sacred writings. And they give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Verse 16, it says, all scripture is inspired by who? God. And profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness. Hear me. The Holy Spirit spoke to people and they wrote down. Now, it wasn't autonomic writing. Is that the right word? It's not like the Holy Ghost took over their hand and they wrote. He spoke to people, they interpreted it into words, and they wrote it on paper, right? And so when you read it, you're just reading words unless the author of the words are there in the room with you. And when the author is in the room with you, you get a whole better interpretation than what Joe said about the scripture. And what Bill said about the scripture. And what your favorite preacher said about the scripture. Or what Matthew Henry said about the scripture. It's far better to have the Holy Ghost tell you what he had in mind when he wrote the scripture. And so as you're sitting there reading the scripture, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I will read the scripture and it's like he was talking right to me. It was like the Holy Ghost spoke to Peter 2,000 years ago, write this sentence down, because he knew in the year 2015, I was going to be reading it and I would need to know that word. It's amazing how he works in this levels when you read the scriptures with the author in the room. And I just begin to read and he begins to talk. I'm reading, he's talking. And then I read for a while. Just reading, and then he starts talking again. Boom. That's the scripture for me. For those who were with us on Wednesday night, we had a neat exercise where we talked about receiving a word from the Lord. And the exercise was we're going to read the Bible, and the Holy Spirit's going to guide us what to read, and we're going to see what God says. And in a little group I was a part of, every single person, there was a scripture they got that was right in line with their life. So you see, there's a lot in this thing right here. Some good, some bad. I mean, the whole Word of God is good, but there's a fair amount of judgments in this thing. And if you're not led by the Spirit, you'll think they're for you. Right? You'll think they're for you. And all you hear is the condemnation when God is trying to comfort. You got to be led by the Spirit. You got to be led by the Spirit and allow Him to guide you in this Scripture. Why? Because we want to prove the will of God, and we can't do it if we don't know it. I'm gonna kind of talk outside of church here for a second. I probably shouldn't say this. It might be gossip. Hopefully the person's not here. But you never know. I saw that how do I say this without sounding like the gossip I'm about to be? Yes, Lord. No, I'll say it like this. I read on, there's very little that you can learn about God in the comments section of anything on the internet, all right? There's very little to learn about Jesus in any comment section anywhere, right? But I read in the comment section on something, and I almost reply, and then, you know, those words of wisdom come to me, don't feed the trolls. Don't feed the trolls. Don't feed the trolls. So someone was upset with what someone else did for Jesus. I'll just leave it at that. And they said, you know, God said this about that situation. I was like, well, that's amazing. You hear from God for that person? They don't even need the Holy Ghost. They have you. This is amazing. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost for nothing because he's got you. No, that's not your role. It's not your role to tell somebody, to hear God for someone. That's not the role of the prophetic gift. It's not the role for the prophetic office. It's amazing how many people are telling other people what God's will is who don't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I find that amazing. You don't even believe the Bible, but I'm supposed to believe you? You don't believe what Paul wrote, but I'm supposed to believe what you say? Come on now. Come on, son. We're not going to believe that. Stupidity. Okay, I'm about to go down a road I don't want to go down, so let me just bring it back on the tracks. I get mad when people curse people in the name of Jesus. But God says this. God said you shouldn't be flaming people on Facebook comments. Come on, man. Take control of your own soul before you try to control somebody else. Be free. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm gaining self-control here. So you want to read the Bible. If you don't know God's will, you know, this isn't a one and done thing. You got to be feeding this garden all the time. You know, the word of God for your life, you got to go out into a garden. And you go out to this garden and there's fruit there and you eat the fruit that it's bearing right now. None of it stays on the vine and rots. Right? God gives provision in the garden. We go to the garden that he provides, that springs forth that well of life. We go, we eat what he's providing, right? Some people want different foods, you know, and God is not like my wife. My wife will make specialty meals for the kids. And I'm like, just serve it and they can eat it or not. You know what I'm saying? But not my wife. She's making three different meals at one time because one person doesn't like broccoli. That's me. Somebody else doesn't like want the rice. And so she's making four different side dishes. That Jesus is not Burger King. He's not saying have it your way, right? He's like, this is where we're going. He really believes that he's God, right? And he's like, here's where we're going. And you're like, that's a great word. I just want to hear from God now. Here. I didn't do that. And you walk away from God and you come back and you're like, okay, I just want a fresh word. And he's still holding it. Here, do this and then we'll go to step two. Right? And so we got to be going to the garden of our, and so you have to constantly be watering that garden, that relationship with God that brings forth fruit constantly. And let me tell you what, you might feel like, I don't know God like you, Pastor. I don't hear him like you do, or I don't hear him like this person does, or that person does. Guess what? You hear God perfectly for where you're at. The devil is a lie. You don't need 19 different spiritual gifts. You don't need a council of prophets and apostles to tell you how to live your life. You don't need it. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. If you've received Jesus Christ as Lord, the Bible says that you were sealed with his Spirit. You received the Holy Ghost at salvation, and that is on the inside of you, and God is talking. And if you're like, but I'm not hearing him, I got an antidote. Just start reading the Bible every day. You got to be reading it every day because the voice of your soul is so loud, it's hard for you to hear the Spirit. And so God says, you just keep reading this word. You keep going to church. You keep fellowshipping with believers. You keep following what he tells you to do. And eventually you're storing up all this God will on the inside of you. And when he speaks, it's going to resonate with something. And it's going to come to the forefront. And you're like, oh my gosh, yes, yes. I just read that in the Bible today. God knows what he's doing. He really, really knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. When you go to tune a piano, you play a note on a tuning fork, and then you make the piano at the C sound like the tuning fork. You don't just decide what you want C to sound like, right? And unfortunately, what a lot of believers do is C sounds like one thing, and G sounds like something that may or may not be G, and with no relation to C, and their lives are all this scattered, and you're like, why isn't your life all, why? I'm into holistic Christianity, and that's not New Age. What that means is he cares about your whole life, spirit, soul, body. When the tide rises with the Holy Ghost in your life, all boats should be floating. They should all be floating. It shouldn't be, you know, at work they think you're a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and at church you expect to be a deacon next week. Right? It's like you don't have a church life and then a life. It's like you just have a life. You know, and if you have several lives, you're lying somewhere. Right? And lying is bad no matter where you're doing it. Right? We just want to live real lives. We want to be real people just living our lives. And if you're new and you're visiting, and you may have been to a church where you just got to fake it everywhere, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our youth ministry director got up here and said, you know, we all are, you know, we got working stuff out. That's real. I can walk with people who are working it out, though. I just want to walk with people who are working it out, not making excuses for why they don't have it worked out. That's not my message. I'm moving on here. Hallelujah. So listen, thank you. I appreciate that. That encourages me. Okay, so we found out that this word is living and active, right? That means when you get it in you, all right, let me say it like this. When you receive communion, right, your body is built on everything you put in it. You know, like that steak you had the other day may have made some of this thigh muscle, right, and replenished some of your arm, you know, because you worked out hard that day, or you ate all that cake and, you know, right? Your body is built on what you put in it. That's all it has to work with, right? And if you just deliver a bunch of mud, you're going to get a mud house, right? You use good construction materials, then the hurricane will come and it will stand, right? Like you only have what's delivered to the job site, right? And so your spiritual life, you need to build it with stuff. And when you receive communion, when you commune with the Lord, he says you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, because literally your body has to be built out of his body. Right? And so he said here, my word is living and active. I want to put living, active word in me. So it's continuing to do something once it gets in me. Right? Okay. All right, follow with me for a second. I'm not trying to make this more complicated, but just follow with me for a second. So we come to Christ and we find ourselves still doing the stuff we did before Jesus. Anybody ever have that problem? You're like, I came to Jesus hoping this will get fixed and my whole life is better except for this thing that I still want to get fixed. Is that just me or is that you too? Yeah? Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Everything is floating except for this. All right. Okay. We learn to live by truth and not by feeling, right? We would say amen to that. The Bible says that we're to be filled with the Spirit. Just because you ain't felt it doesn't mean that goes away, right? We agree. Yes. Amen. Renewing of the mind. Amen. There's this word, a big, big, long word, and actually it's two words. Neurosynaptic elasticity. Neurosynaptic elasticity. What does that mean? That means the way your thoughts work in your brain are not all, it's not just a cloud. All right? Your brain is not a cloud where stuff floats around. When you have a memory, there's actually a neurotransmitter that is strengthened, and that's how the memory is held. And, you know, like when you're learning an instrument, you want to do it so much that your fingers automatically go to the right place. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Or you go to run or do an event, or maybe ladies like straightening your hair. Or how many of you know when you put on makeup now is different than when you were in middle school? Before, just like... If you're still doing that, it's time for renewing of the mind, okay? But the more you do it, you know, like the first time you put in your earrings or you put on eyeliner, it took you 3 hours, you're jabbing yourself in the eyeball, you're burning your forehead with a straightener, you know what I mean? Right? It takes you a while to figure out exactly that. And then, you know, after a year or two, you're doing it like you're just able to do it, right? Because your brain, the synapses are so coded that you automatically know how to do it, right? Before Jesus, the same thing happened in your thought life. And you learned a pattern of thinking, and that's now like, where it was just a rocky trail in your brain when you first learned it, now it's like a highway. And your mind instantly goes to here. I know how to do it. I know how to put the line on. I know how to do this. I know how to think this way. Oh my God, terrible thoughts. Oh my gosh, lustful thoughts. Oh my gosh, hateful thoughts. Judgment, bitterness. And it just flows. It just flows. And so what does the Bible tell you to do about those things? Fight the flow? No. Build new neurotransmitters. See, and the longer you do something, the less neuroplastic elasticity there is. What does that mean? The longer you do something, the harder it is to change. Right? So if you have a habit and you did it every day for, you know, 20 years, it's harder to break that habit than if you just did it once and you said never again. Right? If you say once and never again, you may not, it doesn't really change you, right? That's how the Word of God is. If you read it once and that's it, it doesn't necessarily reprogram your brain. your heart may have been completely shifted. And you say, why am I not doing the things that I want to do? And why am I doing the things I don't want to do? Because you've not retrained the synapses in your brain. You've not created new highways in your mind. I'm just talking about science right now. I'm just talking about science. So what do we have to do? We have to make new pathways in our brain. How do we do that? We cooperate with what the Holy Spirit calls truth. We cooperate with what the Holy Spirit calls truth, and we don't just go to church and we hear it and go and hope that somehow, you know, magically it got on us and our life changes. We actually have a role to play in this. Now, I love miracles. God, in a second, can come down and change everything about your mind. Many people get saved, and their life just radically transforms at that moment. Old things pass away. I believe that. All things become new. I believe that scripture is mostly spiritual. I don't know about you. I wanted to be a little bit taller. I got saved, and I wasn't any taller. Right? I have a fresh start, and now I get to choose what the rest of my life is going to be like. But just like I programmed my brain up to that moment, I now get to no longer be an enemy of God. I get to cooperate with God. And I get to prove his will in my mind first. The first place we prove his will is in our mind. And as we cooperate with his will, you don't just oh, I thought that good thought. Okay, no. I am trying to get highways of holiness in my brain. Right? The Bible didn't just say believe God. He says believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You have to take corresponding actions to your revelation in order for anything to happen in your life. Let me say that again. You have to take corresponding action to your revelation or nothing really changes in your life. These people came up and gave testimonies. I feel free, I feel free. Well, until you do the stuff you used to do that made you not feel free. Then you're going to be right back to the same bondage. We have to walk in the freedom he's provided. Are you getting bored or you got a couple more minutes? Okay, so what we have to do is, okay, Romans 14:7 says what? He says the kingdom of heaven is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That means that you can't create your own righteousness, but the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. When we stop cooperating with God and allowing him to have dominion over our thoughts, we leave the kingdom. Does that mean we're going to hell? No, that's not what I mean at all. But we've walked outside the kingdom. When I decide to entertain thoughts that do not reflect the truth, I leave the kingdom. And guess what? There's no grace over here. There's only judgment. There's only condemnation. There's only the law of sin and death. Grace and mercy are over here in the kingdom. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. Now I'm going to give you all some opportunity to really be challenged. The disciples asked Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, when are you going to restore the kingdom? When will the kingdom be restored? Right? When are you restoring the kingdom of Israel? This is Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Go read this later. When are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not your business to know the times or seasons. Right? Then he said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. They were looking for a natural kingdom. Jesus said right there, the kingdom is restored when I send the Holy Spirit. You're in the kingdom when you receive it. I mean, it's right there in the Bible. When is the kingdom be restored? You don't worry about when, but this is what it looks like when you're in it. This is what it'll look like when you're in the kingdom. This is what it'll look like when you get the Holy Ghost and you start doing things that are only possible in the kingdom. See, in the natural, you're never going to renew your mind. You're never going to break these thoughts of judgment. You're never going to stop these thoughts of lust. You're never going to stop the bitterness. You're never going to stop the shame. It's never coming off of you in your own power. If you could do it, you already would have. You already would have done it a long time ago. Nobody wants to live that way. The only way you get it is when you stand in the Holy Ghost and you begin to allow your mind to be renewed. Allow Jesus to begin reprogramming the highway of holiness in your mind so that you are given to the will of God. You make a covenant with Jesus. I am not leaving the Holy Ghost. I am not leaving the kingdom. My mind is yours and everything I think on is yours. Lord, I declare that I am no longer seeking my own pleasure. I'm seeking your pleasure. Does this make sense to you? He says, listen, when that happens to you, when you allow that power to come upon your life, you will what? Be my witness. You will prove the will of God. When you allow that to happen, hear me, you will prove the will of God. And you'll be a witness for me in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Are you hearing me? Because the world is looking for a witness that Jesus Christ is alive. It is looking for a witness that Jesus Christ is alive. He says, listen, you just give yourself to my spirit. You give yourself to my spirit and you'll start doing stuff that only can happen in the kingdom. And then you'll begin demonstrating the kingdom and people will be like, what's happening? Well, you'll be a witness that I am alive. Hear me, Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove the will of God. You can't prove it on your own. You can't work up more whatever. I'm just going to do it more. I'm going to work on it harder. It's not going to work. The law will not work. It only happens by the Holy Ghost. And he said in Mark 16, go into the world and preach. He who has believed and been baptized, these signs will accompany them. These signs will accompany them who believe. We need our mind to be renewed so we really believe. We really believe that his word is truth. The renewed mind is living in the spirit. It's living in the kingdom. It's proving the will of God. It's manifesting the spirit of God. This is proving Jesus. So I got three very quick points. That was my introduction. Hallelujah. All right, write this down real quick. Number one, you ready? Write this down. Number one. How are we going to do this? How are we going to walk in the renewed mind? Number one, get the Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost. If you're saying, what do you mean, Pastor? I say to you, get the Holy Ghost. Because you know when you get the Holy Ghost. There's no question about it. You're like, I'm not sure I got him. I went to youth camp. And get the Holy Ghost. If you're in the midst of confusion, my answer to you, get the Holy Ghost. If you're like, I'm not sure what to do, get the Holy Ghost. My mind is always running away. I say, in your mind, get the Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost. Number one, get the Holy Ghost. Number two, fill your mind with God's will. We have this saying, this might offend you, because it's a little unclean, but fellas know what I'm talking about. When you get saved, you know, the enemy throws the most vile. I don't know if the enemy throws vile things at you after you get saved or you realize they are vile after you get saved and they're the same thoughts you've always had. But we call these thoughts, you know, you sexualize every woman you meet in your mind. You meditate on just disgusting things and they pop in your head. And guys, know we have you got to get aggressive with porn thoughts. You know, that stuff pops in your head. That's not the sin. Meditating on it is the sin, right? And you got to instantly, you shut that down instantly. You cannot explore it. You can't think where it's coming. It has to end, right? And so you got to get to the place where your mind is so filled with God's will that everything that is in disagreement with God's will, you treat like a porn thought. I'm not entertaining that for a second. That person looked uncomfortable. I refuse to believe that was my fault. I refuse to believe that was my fault. I refuse to believe that this person is thinking poorly of me right now. I refuse to believe that I'm not going to be able to pay this bill. I'm not even entertaining that thought. I refuse to go there in this depression. I refuse to believe things aren't going to get better. I refuse to believe that my family is against me. I refuse to believe that God has given up on me. I refuse. I can give no place for these thoughts in my life. I refuse to entertain them for a moment. God's will has been revealed in my life, and I refuse to meditate on anything that comes against it. Because where his will is where his provision is. And the enemy, if he can get you to reject his will, then you reject the provision. If you're called to go to China, your provision is to go to China. You reject the call to go to China, guess what? The provision does not come. His provision is in his will. It's in his will. Number three, he says it here. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Who disbelieves shall be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, speak new tongues. They'll pick up serpents. They'll drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You have to. Number one, get the Holy Ghost. Number two, fill your mind with God's will. Number three, you have to declare his will to the world. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen? There's something in that. There's something in that. Because when you say it, your synapses. Jesus knew what he was talking about. You think he knows how your mind works? I bet he does. I bet he does. When he was making it, he had a plan. I believe he had a plan. Mikey, can you come up? I believe he had a plan. And so you got to reprogram your brain. You got to stop allowing the viruses to run. Hear me. I'm going to finish here in a second, and then we're going to pray for some people. If you know, you feel like I've been going long, I'm sorry. Listen. You got to stop the viruses from running. I don't want to go too far with that analogy, but there's a virus in your body. You take some, you get rid of the virus. You do what it takes to get rid of it. You got a virus in your computer, you don't just let it run. Because now your computer is doing stuff contrary to what you bought the computer for. It's working for somebody else's benefit, not yours. That's your mind with lies in it. It's working against your purposes and for someone else's benefit. You got to get aggressive with those things. You can't allow those things to run anymore. And instead, you need to reprogram. I once had a computer that had so many viruses on it, I just wiped it clean and started over. You ever do that? Just wipe it clean. My phone started acting so funky for a while. I didn't know what was going on. I was battling. I said, just restore. Time for salvation of my phone. I'm ready for a fresh start. I'm going to renew my phone's mind. I wiped away all the old, and I restored everything new. And now it's running good. Now it's running good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so in your mind, you're trying to tweak things. Let me tweak the settings. Let me go in the config file. Let me try to. It's time for a new start. Install new programs. Get running on truth. Like those old programs you had back when you're in eighth grade, loaded on your computer. You know, you open your browser, you got 19 toolbars. You're like, maybe I don't need the emoji toolbar anymore. That's just taking up space. Right? You got to put away childish things sometimes. It served its purpose when you were a child. Now it's time to move on. I want to pray for you real quick, and I'm going to let you go. But I feel in my spirit right now that there's some people that you're just ready for a fresh start with Jesus. You're ready to move into the kingdom. In your life, you were standing over here doing things your way. And guess what? Things are not going well. That's all I'm trying to say. They're not going well. You're like, oh, what do you mean? I'm making money. You know what I'm talking about. Things aren't going well. God's will is not coming to fruition in your life. And today's the day of new beginnings. You're like, well, Pastor, do I have to start over? Yes. Cost you everything, but it will be worth it. I remember, let me just say this. Whatever you fear about coming forward and receiving Jesus and declaring to the world you want a fresh start, whatever might be keeping you from doing that is the very thing that's the cost. And he's got to be more important than that. I don't know what it is in your life. It could be people thinking that you're amazing. Got a news flash for you on that one. Might be a girlfriend, boyfriend, might be money, might be, I don't know what, your will. That's your cost. But over here in the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. New purpose, new life. Father, we love you. We so love you. And we want to live in your kingdom. We want to be filled with your will. We want to know your will and we want to follow it. I want your amazing to shine through me. The thing that makes you amazing, Lord, I want it to shine in me. I want it to shine in me, Lord. I'm done fighting your will. And for the 100th time, I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I give up my pride. I give up my ego. I give up my plans. I lay them at your feet for the plans that you have for me. And I ask you today to show your mercy and show your grace, that you would lift the burden. All these testimonies about how the weight came off, Father, I pray that you would lift the weight even now. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please, as we pray. Please, nobody leaving, no movement around the room. If you just stand with me, we're going to pray and then I'll let you go. Father, we love you right now. We love you right now, Jesus. And I know it's your will that none should perish, but that everyone should have everlasting life. A life of prosperity, a life of peace, a life where you're not worried about people cheating on you. You're not worried about people lying to you. You're not worried about how you're going to pay the bills. But you're going to follow Jesus. I just feel so strongly in my spirit that there's some people who just need to get free this morning. You feel like so much of this was for you. And I just want to welcome you. You're going to make the biggest decision of your life right now. You might not even know why you're coming forward, but I just feel like there's a couple people you need to come forward right now. You need to receive this free gift of a new start that Jesus is giving right now. And so I just welcome you. If that's you, I want you to just come up right now and stand in front of me. And today is the day. Just come forward. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. I just feel in my spirit there's people right now that you're ready for a fresh start. Just stand right here. Come on, church. Come on, church. Give it up. Come on, just line up right here. Line up right here. If you're ready for that fresh start, just line up right here. This is a good day. This is a good day. If I had some of my leaders stand behind them, that'd be great. Come on, give it up one more time. Have some leaders stand behind them. Hallelujah. 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 Got a guy right there, Felipe. Come on over here. I don't know if you're an usher or whatnot.